We welcome in our next guest. He's one of the best football commentators there is on the planet for BBC Radio 5. Why can't we get him over here? They sent us James Corden from the UK and the British Isles, and all he does is carpool karaoke with, like, Paul McCartney. He somehow got Paul McCartney to do carpool karaoke, and I'm sad about that. But he's excellent. I got to meet him at Euro 2004. He does great golf commentary as well. Connor McNamara joins us now on Brady and Price. It's great to have you on again. How are you?
Hi, Greg. Good. I hope you can hear me. I'm here at the changing planes in the terminal in Moscow. Just come from Yekaterinburg, which is the sort of most eastern city that's hosting World Cup games. So that's way over in Asia. You're sort of level with countries like Pakistan and India. I mean, you're way, way over. But now I'm back into Moscow because we're changing planes to go to Kazan. And I have to say, absolutely loving this World Cup so far. It's been such good fun.
I was going to say, we haven't had the climate issues that we had in the oppressive heat of Brazil. I know it's a different season in Brazil, but they were giving them water breaks for a lot of the Brazil matches. Maybe not in Rio itself, but in a lot of the outlying areas in the jungle, basically. So climate hasn't been an issue. Weather hasn't been an issue. And the infrastructure hasn't been an issue in the stadiums, has it?
No, I mean, I have to say, I've been totally surprised. When I heard, you know, Russia were going to host the World Cup, I thought, well, this isn't going to be as much fun as other World Cups. You know, I grew up watching all those James Bond movies in which all Russians have stern faces and don't smile and all the rest of it. And it's been a real eye-opener to be here. I think people have had such fun. The Russians have put on a huge welcome for everyone. Everywhere you go, smiling faces, people saying, welcome to Russia. And the usual hordes have traveled. I have to say, I didn't think people would travel from South America, from Africa, from other parts of Europe. The Australians who've been here in huge numbers. People have traveled to Russia. They're going around. The infrastructure is fantastic. I mean, the airports would be the same standard you'd expect in Canada or the UK, anywhere like that. Absolutely no problem with any of that stuff. And people have just been really enjoying themselves. I think what's also massively helped is that the football has been good. And that goes back to what you said about conditions and that. The pitches have been good. The stadiums have been good. The weather has been good. And that really helps.
There's something I'm not ready for, and it is 4 years from now. Has anyone there talked about Qatar? I was thinking how we can put our feet up a little bit. It's June. I think this is a great month. There's a lot less American sport going on, as you know. I'm not ready for a November World Cup, regardless of all the other circumstances with the stadiums and the geography and the weather. I'm not really ready for it to be in November. It's just not ideal for anyone, is it?
No, I mean, I'm totally with you. I think it messes up what is an established formula that works. People love the World Cup. I mean, there was various ideas over the years, people saying, oh, why don't we have it every 2 years because it's such a big deal, because it's such a success. And no, like, don't mess with the World Cup. It's brilliant the way it is. People have grown up in their childhoods getting absorbed by it, enjoying it as an adult. The fact it's only every 4 years makes it very special, gives it an extra value. And I think, you know, the Qatar World Cup, and we've got to look, see what they're going to do with it. But on paper, it doesn't sound like it's going to work. The temperature is going to be way too hot.
Yeah.
The proximity of each stadium to each other. I mean, people are going to be sitting on top of each other. There isn't the space that there is in a regular World Cup host country. Look, as I said, 4 years ago, I would have thought Russia isn't going to be much fun, and it is. So I'm going to keep an open mind, but it's going to have to go some way to convince me that Qatar is a good location for a World Cup.
Connor, we saw what happened yesterday with Argentina losing a 3-0 to Croatia. Germany coming off a tie. Brazil, a tie. Portugal and Spain, neither have looked great in their first two games. So all of the big guns have been less than impressive so far. Which of them do you think can pull it together?
Well, I think Brazil, I've definitely up there is one of my favourites. I still think Spain are going to come good. I think David De Gea had a very uncharacteristic sort of wobble in their opening game. Otherwise, they might well have beaten Portugal, and we'd have a different perspective on things now. I think the difference with this World Cup is, and it just shows how sport in general, not just soccer, has developed over the years, is that in the past, you know, the bigger nations had more money, had more resources, had better fitness techniques, maybe better nutrition, better facilities. And those things have been leveled out over the years. And I think all the countries now have got players who play in top leagues, who've got access to all these facilities, who've got the nous and the wherewithal. And they're just not as surprised by the high standard teams anymore. And I think the bigger nations have got to work harder than ever. There's almost no such thing as a minnow. Now, I'm exaggerating a little bit there because clearly some teams have looked off the pace. But over the tournament as a whole, I think there's a base level where you've got nations like Denmark, like Iceland, who will take the, you know, we saw last night with Croatia.
nations who are not traditionally up there amongst the top nations of world football, and yet they have got the wherewithal, they've got the quality of players, and they've had the proper preparation to mean they can take it. And for me, that makes it a better tournament, because every game I sit down to watch now, and I'm lucky enough to be in the stadium commentating on many of them, and then the others were just in a bar in a restaurant here in Russia watching. Every game, you don't know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And that, to me, is entertainment, because there's nothing more boring than sitting down and saying, well, this is definitely going to be 3-0 to Brazil. We really don't know, and that's why you can't take your eye off it.
Conor McNamara joining us from BBC Five Live, calling matches on the radio with Dion Dublin. It's a great pairing. If you get a chance to listen online, do so. There's always that big superpower football nation that has a crisis tournament. I'll never forget going to Euro 2000, okay, and I got to see Germany twice in person, and they were a mess that year. They scored one goal in three matches. France had a bad 2002. Is this Argentina's reckoning when you look and go, like there's a lot of people now saying, and a lot of people didn't pick them to get out of this group, Connor, and a lot of people are saying we shouldn't be surprised they're struggling, but I don't think that we all were a little shocked yesterday that they utterly collapsed in the second half. That was a shocking collapse. It could have been 5-0. The scoreline almost flatters them with how organized they played.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was totally scattered approach. You're looking at, you know, a team that has obviously got superstars, but they are not playing as a team. They are playing as individuals. They look to me watching the game, it was like in the schoolyard at lunch break. I mean, it's just kids running everywhere. Is there any focus on this? Is there any structure to what you're doing? You know, in Lionel Messi, they have got arguably the greatest player there's ever been to play the game. And yet, you know, you can't just leave it to one man to do all that work. It's been fascinating to see Argentina. But you correctly say, this has been coming and this has been signposted. They very nearly did not qualify for this World Cup. Their performance in the qualifiers was poor. They sneaked through at the last minute. Messi provided a magic. But that's the trouble. You know, lightning in a jar, that just comes across every, you know, once in a while. You cannot rely on that magic to happen every time. They did. And they've absolutely paid that price for it. And it looks like Argentina won't be part of this World Cup anymore.
Connor, you mentioned that Argentina can't leave it up to Lionel Messi to do it all by himself. But then again, you look at Portugal, and Cristiano Ronaldo seems to be doing everything all by himself. Are we about to put the who's better, Messi or Ronaldo, debate to bed after this World Cup?
Yeah, well, look, first of all, I find it so tedious, the debate, because you can't choose between, you know, which kind of sports car do you like? Which kind of whiskey do you drink? You know, these are all personal preference things. Let's enjoy that they're both very, very good. I think Portugal have got more of a team structure about them, and I think that's helping Ronaldo to shine at the moment. We saw at the European Championships when he gets injured very early in the final, and they were still able to go on and beat the host and win the European Championship. So Portugal, to me, they have got one individual star, and then the rest of them are a team. So that's working very well in tandem. The trouble for Argentina is it's all stars. You know, Dybala is a star. Higuain is a star. Messi is a star. They've too many star players, and yet they're not gelling as a cohesive unit. And I think Ronaldo, whatever, you know, you look at the stats, and what's remarkable have been played so far in the World Cup of players who've played more than 60 minutes of each game on the pitch. The two outfield players who have covered the least amount of ground, who've done the least amount of running, are Lionel Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo. And these stats continue. You look at the Champions League stats for this season. Same thing, that there's a requirement in here of players that have played in at least 7 games or more, and have played more than 60 minutes per game. Messi and Ronaldo are the two players who run the least. And you can look at that and say, are they lazy? Are they waiting for others to do the work for them? Do they just want the glory? A lot of it is they're conserving energy. They're letting other people do the tracking back, other people do the running. So when they get the moment to be explosive and to really burst, that's left in the tank, and they're able to out-sprint players, or they're able to get on the end of a cross. It's phenomenal to see how they work in tandem. The difference is Portugal are helping Ronaldo more. Argentina aren't helping Messi enough.
Hey, what's your next match? We got a bowl. Well, when can we hear you again?
Yeah, so next game is on Sunday, I believe. This is like when it's around Christmas. You've no idea. When you're at the World Cup, you don't even know what day of the week it is. And I hope today is Friday. That means that on Sunday we're doing Colombia against Poland. So I'm really looking forward to seeing that. I really enjoyed mingling with the Colombian fans in Brazil 4 years ago. So Colombia, Poland, next one. Then we've got France, Denmark. Then we go into the second round. And it could be, I've got my fingers crossed for this. The second round game I'm supposed to do is the winner of Brazil's group against the runner-up of Germany's group. And it could be that Germany are the runners-up. So that could be a second round.
Yeah,
Brazil against Germany, which I would be like a kid on Christmas Day if that comes true.
Well, I'll tell you what, you've been great with us. I love listening to you. I know what a good guy you are. And you've been talking in a Russian airport as an Irish national to a Canadian, and you have not been accosted. So this is not a James Bond movie. This would never have been allowed to happen in Octopussy or A View to a Kill. You would have been stopped by now and accosted, and you haven't been. So we're making progress.
Let's not speak too soon.
No, it's not. It's Russia.
Come over to look at me.
Yes, the KGB is lying in wait. Thanks for doing this for us. We appreciate it.
My absolute pleasure, guys.